Hi, listeners. Welcome to the sixth episode of our Reading Cove podcast. For any listeners who may be interested in joining our book club, please visit our website at www.thereadingcove.com. Today, we're chatting about our June 2011 pick, The Society by Michael Palmer. Okay, so today it's just Melania and Roberta chatting about The Society by Michael Palmer, which is our 127th pick now.
Yep.
We're climbing. And it was picked by Joyce. And we were really happy this month because the author was kind enough to answer some interview questions that we sent him. And the main one being Cheryl, another co-moderator, she had a really big pet peeve about the use of respirator versus ventilator throughout the book. And she posed that question to the author. And I thought his response was really funny. he basically said, you know, he didn't flunk any of his medical school courses, and he sees the two words as synonyms. So, I know a lot of people, when they're reading certain books, they have pet peeves about, you know, different things that maybe, you know, errors or whatever, but he seems to feel that they're synonyms. They can be used interchangeably, and it really didn't bother me. How about you, Roberta?
No, I mean, that part didn't bother me. And I think she questioned the hypothermia versus the hyperthermia.
Yeah.
And when I was looking at that later, because she's read the book before I did, that I think it was still like maybe a case of not so good editing, because I got to thinking that the patient in question, he actually did start out with hypothermia. They were saying his temperature was so low they weren't sure they were going to be able to warm him up. Mm-hmm. And then later on when he's in the hospital, the temperature got like it swung the other way and got like up to very dangerous levels. So I'm thinking that could have been a typo, editing error, that they should have really said his previous hypothermia.
Clarified it,
because when I got to that, I said, aha, this is what Cheryl was peeved about.
Yeah.
And I can see her point, but once, you know, looking back, since I had seen her question before I got to that part early in the story, I could see where what the book was getting at, but I could see how she could be upset about it too, because it wasn't clarified or edited too well.
Yeah, and I'm not sure, was it Cheryl who caught that or Chuck? Because I think Chuck or Lynette or somebody had picked up on something else.
Yeah, well, I think all three of them, since they were involved in that type of thing, all sort of picked up, especially since Chuck does the medical transcription. He sees things, you know, every day of his work day. So, but yeah, I think they all kind of picked up, and it bothered him. And it didn't really bother me after I got to thinking about that it was just a slight typo there that they didn't clarify completely.
Right. And, you know, another thing Michael Palmer said in his response was, you know, he doubts that he used those incorrectly. But like you said, it could have been just a something that needed clarification to show that it was his previous diagnosis or his previous temperature. And Michael Palmer says, well, you know, he doubts he used them incorrectly. But if you can prove him wrong, he'll just claim it was a typo or a copy editor problem.
Sure. And I mean, I don't know about so much when this book was written, but you see a lot more strange little errors in books all the time now, because I'm firmly convinced, in an effort to save money, that they run most manuscripts through a computer check, and a real person's eyes don't necessarily see them.
Yeah.
So all the time I see nothing to really set you off, but just little typos where it's more like a homonym or something they don't catch, you know, just little minor things, but your eye will catch it real quick when you're reading the book and you think, aha, you know, the copy editors of the day are long gone. It's the computer that doesn't catch something unless it really is, you know, badly spelled or badly out of whack.
Yeah, that's true. So let's dive into some of the stuff that happened in the book. What was your, like, impression overall of it?
I basically liked the book. I felt like it was suspenseful. There were a few parts that kind of you had to almost suspend disbelief, because you think, Would a, you know, a real life person really do that? I know it's sort of like literary license, but some of the things, especially it, with the police efforts, I just didn't think that that would seem like it was a very, some of the things they did were very safe or very smart, but you never know. Stranger things have happened in real life. But I like the characters. I like the main character, Will, a whole lot. I think he was a man of integrity.
And
he,
me too.
He was willing to stand up for what he believed. And he was a good father.
Yeah.
And you had to love that he had, you know, started this soup kitchen when he had so much else on, literally on his plate mm-hmm. to take care of. And even though she kind of did some crazy things, I did like Patty. I think she was trying to do her best in sort of a boys club type atmosphere.
Yeah. I liked Will a lot because, like you said, he came across in the beginning as mainly in the beginning, because later on I think it got kind of crazy. But in the beginning, he was a very caring doctor and you know, like you said, with the soup kitchen, big patients advocate and being involved in the Hippocrates Society and trying to, you know, fight against everything the managed care HMO system stands for. So I really liked him too. And Patty, I liked her in the beginning. I thought she was really sharp and, you know, trying to hang in there in the guy's domain. But then I felt like she went overboard at the end. Like I was saying to you before, when she took the bullet for, what's the guy's name? Wayne
Brasco.
Yeah. I mean, that whole thing just seems so contrived to me. And it's like, was she really willing to go that far just to make them like her?
Yeah, I mean, that was a little bit over the top. So.
Yeah, and then there was never anything, it didn't go anywhere. I mean, she went into this coma, and I don't think Brasco, like, ever even came to see her or anything.
No.
Did I miss that? Because it was
I don't remember that. Her dad was there and, you know, a few other people, but it's like, you know, maybe he was embarrassed by his foolish actions too.
Yeah, because I really didn't think that she would get much mileage out of that. I don't think it would change the way they saw her in any way.
No.
You know, I think it was a very silly thing for her to do.
Right, to risk her own life for what already she felt like was a bad decision on their part.
Exactly. And the other character I really liked was Maselli. Augie Maselli.
Uh-huh.
I thought he was, I felt really sorry for him, the way he lost his son and his career and was just kind of drinking himself to death slowly.
Right.
So I really feel like Will gave him, rejuvenated him. And his predicament helped him, and I enjoyed that part. I enjoyed how he, you know, was so thoughtful about everything, and then he would think of something and go and kind of ruminate with all the facts and try to figure stuff out. And the whole plant with Will's clothes, how he planted them.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was cool.
Yeah, so, I mean, they say, oh, yeah, we couldn't fool them after all. So
Yeah, and they found them in the closet, and the shoes, of course, were full of fentanyl.
Or whatever
it is. But, and the other thing I did not like, I didn't like the way all of Will's colleagues and, you know, of course, let's forget the police, but all his colleagues at the hospital were so quick to believe that he was this junkie.
I know.
Here you go, a respected physician who, you know, no one had a bad thing to say about him except his ex-wife.
Right.
You know, and all of a sudden he falls into the incision and they find his blood full of a narcotic and everybody turns against him. The head of the hospital's, you know, ready to have his head. And nobody, you know, if it weren't for Beanie, the guy at the soup kitchen, and Patty, he was just nobody. Everybody believed he was, you know, just another doctor who was hooked on drugs. It's like, what? That didn't go over well with me.
Yeah, I mean, because I could see if he'd shown some sort of previous indication, because
exactly.
Who'd been taking drugs that strong, it wouldn't just all of a sudden be boom or something. That there had to be other indications that they were, you know, having problems.
Yeah.
And he'd never shown anything but, like I said, integrity and you know, perfect performance as a doctor. So, yeah, that kind of made you a little mad to think people would, like, jump on the wagon that, oh, yeah, he's another one of those, you know, drug-addicted doctors. I know it happens in real life. You read stuff in the paper and see it on TV, unfortunately. But with somebody like that, you just don't think that they would just all of a sudden think he was a bad guy after he'd been the good guy for so long. But it's hard to say. People are sometimes maybe out for their own careers and it's better to stab someone in the back. But, you know, yeah, that was sometimes – I know that's part of – to move the story along too, but you just wonder if that would really happen that often in real life.
That quickly. I mean, if you had no indication that this person was on drugs or – you know what I mean?
Or drinking or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden – and you know they're this staunch advocate. At least I'm thinking the way I would think. You know, if it right. was one of my colleagues – he's a staunch patient's advocate. He's doing all these things. You've never observed him being peculiar in that way. And then all of a sudden he's loaded as he tries to do a surgery.
Yeah.
Wimple surgery or whatever it was. This is like a very important surgery.
Very, very difficult surgery from what it sounded like. Yes.
Yeah. And yeah, I felt bad for Will, but of course it did, you know, tighten up the pressure on him and what everything that was going on in his life. And when he was in the hospital, and one part that made me laugh out loud was when his ex-wife, what was her name? Maxine. Came to the hospital to visit him. And, you know, she's like talking about how much trouble he's in and if he could get sued. And then she goes, you know, do you know they could sue you and you'd lose everything? And then she'd lose all her child support and alimony. And she's like, don't you ever think of anybody else but yourself?
Yeah. Like, it's not all about her.
Exactly. Like, that statement is not all about herself.
You know, like, and then she restricted the child visitation.
And I mean,
it's not like he'd been found like a pedophile or something, heaven forbid, that he didn't want the kids to see him. I mean, that was just even a worse slap in the face because he hadn't done anything with the children.
Not a thing. So, and she claimed, I think she had claimed something like she had noticed he was behaving strangely. I was like, what?
What? I mean, the kids loved him. They loved to go to the soup kitchen and everything. And so how could she think that he was doing anything wrong?
She was just a bitch, for lack of a better word.
I mean, the man was working himself to death. You know, he wasn't on drugs, but you could see somebody getting on drugs to maybe stimulants, not, you know, things to knock you out, to keep going, since he was, working full
crazy
tilt.
Crazy hours,
to try to,
yeah.
That many hours to support his children and everything.
And that's something that Michael Palmer said in one of his responses to us, that, you know, he's known doctors that, you know, like Will is a composite of several doctors, including himself, like with the ex-wife and, you know, certain circumstances. So it does happen. It does happen. But yeah, Maxine was a pistol. She was something else.
Right. You know, like he didn't already have enough trouble. And then his ex-wife and the mother of his children doesn't even want to, you know, support him or take his side.
Exactly. So anything else or any other characters that stuck out?
Well, I mean, I said I liked Grace. Of course, Grace kind of tied up things at the end with the people who are listening to this. They've read the book. But
right, yeah.
I thought it was sort of, you know, fitting justice. You hope that you don't want to condone, you know, murder, but you kind of can understand how Grace, you know, acted at the very end.
Yeah, and talking about the end, and of course, you know, I put this on our post. We assume anyone listening to this has read the book, so you know, because we're discussing all kinds of spoilers.
All kinds, that's right.
But talking about the end, did you suspect? Because we were talking a bit about this in the group online. Who was involved? I kind of suspected Susan early on.
Right, yeah, because I don't know, she there's just something funny about the way she talked with these different people. And then the thing, it said something about that she had a boyfriend, she was in business, and but she didn't really share about. Of course, you know, some people want to be private about their private lives. So when you think back towards what happened, you think back there, aha, you know, that was sort of a clue right there that she was connected in some way to this stuff, you know.
Well, the first thing that made me suspect her was when the BB didn't show up in the x-ray. And when Will began to realize that maybe Grace, something was going on with her x-rays, because right. they didn't see the BB in her mammogram
right.
Film. And that's when I suspected her, because she had done the surgery. She had done the biopsy.
Yeah. And you
so
think
immediately,
she
yeah, I was like, well, she whatever's going on, she has to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I hadn't thought about that. But yeah. Yeah. But I said that that's another clue right there. You think, well, why did she miss that? She
How could she miss that? Exactly. And I was like outraged. It's like, wow. It makes you really think about getting second and third opinions. I mean, that aspect of the book is very powerful. The fact that they would right. diagnose people with something they do not have so that they can make profits. They can, you know, I mean, ouch.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
yes, it ties That's, back into what you were saying, that Grace going and finding Susan, wherever she was, I don't know where she was, some country she had ran off to.
Some South American country, I think.
Yeah. And Grace finding her and taking her out. It was like a real Sylvester Stallone, Sharon Stone moment. I don't know if you saw right. that movie, not to go too much off topic, but that movie, The Specialist.
Oh,
where
yeah,
at the end, Sharon Stone gets, you know, takes revenge. It kind of reminded me of that, the way her and her husband went and took Susan out.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
yeah.
And you can see their rage in the whole situation.
Are you kidding? I think yeah. I would want to kill a doctor who did that to me. What?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
That is a time to kill.
Yeah, so you can see that was definitely, you know, not like I said, not that I'm one to condone murder, but
no,
you know, that
of course
was
we
definitely
don't,
a,
but there are some circumstances where
you can say, okay, good for you.
Exactly. Don't get caught though, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, since it's in a faraway country, that's the thing too. She, you know, it wouldn't be like here in the United States where they'd track you down there. They'd probably just think, oh, well, she got mixed up with the wrong crowd. Wrong crowd, some drug, you know, lords or something. Because unfortunately, too, there's a lot of, you know, drug stuff going on in other countries, and Americans have gotten killed there too.
Yeah.
So. But I said, but yeah, I had to like, you know, Grace, because she had redeemed herself too, and thought highly of Will since, you know, he had basically saved her life.
Helped
before.
Her, yeah. Yeah, he helped her a lot. The other thing I liked, plus, was the book seemed to have like a little soundtrack going to it. Like Patty liked listening to, you know, the classical stuff. She was listening to the score to Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Yo-Yo Ma. And
oh, yeah.
The one doctor or neurosurgeon, I think he was, who was like cheating on his wife, and he was, you know, setting up his seduction with listening to Morgana King,
a
Taste of
right.
Honey and stuff before they came and killed him.
Yeah.
But I liked, I got a good sense of a soundtrack going there to the book. So that was good.
Mentioned about Bruce Springsteen concert too.
Yeah. With Susan, I really thought that was fake. That something didn't ring true to me with her going on about trying to impress a guy, you know, by going to Bruce Springsteen. And I don't know, I just didn't like Susan.
Well, I know I didn't either. So, but it just like you said, that kind of fit the music, and it's nice how you fit in music into the literature too.
Yeah, in the backdrop, seemed
right.
like a backdrop. The characters had good taste.
Yes. They may have been kind of slimy, but they had good
taste. They had good taste in music.
That's right.
Yeah. So, any other thoughts?
No, I don't think so. So like you said, this is kind of a short and sweet thing today. This
yeah.
I wish Cheryl had come along to be the voice of dissent here, but maybe maybe next time.
Well, you gave it a B.
Right.
And I think I've given it a C.
And right.
This morning we heard from Kim. I think Kim gave it a B. And a few other people really enjoyed it. So it was a good pick. I think it was great. And I really liked that quote that I shared from the back where the president of the, at the end, the president
yes.
of the Hippocrates Society was saying that, you know, she was basically made this little speech. And then, but the last thing she said that really struck me was that healthcare should not be an oxymoron.
Exactly.
I thought that,
yeah,
was
that was
really
great,
powerful.
That was a great quote. Yep.
Yeah. So that is our chat of Michael Palmer's The Society. We hope that our listeners will come back next month. We'll be talking about The Kitchen House by Kathleen Grissom, which looks like a really good book. That's my pick. So we'll see how that one goes. And Kathleen is scheduled to join us on the podcast. So I'm looking forward to that. That should be really, really good.
I'll look forward to it.
Yeah. Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye.